Sorry about that, what have we got coming up in issue 80 of ETV?
Issue 80, which is out in May, well, we're in May now, so it's out any day now. I think it went to the printers a couple of weeks ago, so contributors should be getting their copies soon. I haven't seen it yet. It's a nice one. It's got a lot of good things in it. The main feature is by Peter Viney, who's been in the industry for quite embarrassing by saying how many years, not that I actually know. But when I first started teaching, which was in Japan in the early 80s, Peter Viney's book, Streamline, was what sort of basically saved my life. I was teaching in a Japanese high school using the, having to use the government textbook, which really was dreadful. And I managed to get hold of copies of Streamline, which was a fabulous book.
Yeah.
Because it, you know, it had stuff in it that interested the kids, and it really was geared towards getting them to speak, whereas the government textbook was geared towards teaching them grammar and getting them to read passages about cherry blossoms in Washington, I think it was. And it was full of errors, and it was really dreadfully boring. And so I remember Streamline English with enormous affection. Peter actually wrote this article in response to one of the book reviews in ETP. Somebody had written a book, I think John Gray for Cambridge University Press, on it was a sort of analysis of course books, and for some reason it was an analysis of course books which were really quite old, most of them. And this is the point that Peter Viney picks up on, saying, well, yes, there was sort of rampant sort of sex discrimination in course books produced in the 70s and 80s, because kind of that was the deal of the time. I mean, things have moved on now, and you wouldn't expect to see some of the some of the dialogues and some of the humour that was used in those course books is just not appropriate to today. But it seems a little bit weird to criticise it now.
If it was of its time.
It was of its time, and so this is the point that he makes in the main feature, and actually reveals quite a few insights into the production of the course books, and particularly interesting when they decided to do American versions, because the American market is quite different, and I think sort of embraced political correctness rather earlier than the British market, and with slightly more vehemence. And so Peter outlined some of the issues which arose when I had an American editor. I read the article. So that was quite interesting.
That's good. That's the main feature.
That's the main feature of the thing. There's also an article by Rob Waring, which is the debate I was talking about earlier on extensive reading and graded readers. That is a reply to the earlier rather negative article we had, saying that extensive reading was essentially a waste of time. But he's defending it vehemently, so that's always nice. And I expect we will get further input from readers on that one.
That will help to obviously continue the debate. And
yes, and we welcome any responses that we get. One of my favourite articles coming up in issue 80, which is, I call it an article, but actually it's a bit of a show and tell, really. And it's, in fact, getting this article has sparked a new series in the magazine. For a long time we've run a page called It Works in Practice, where people send in short, snappy ideas of things which have worked for them, which people can just take and use. But a woman in Turkey sent me a lovely account of how she had taken an article by Gary Collins in a very much earlier issue of the magazine, and he was describing how he made these sort of photo love stories, you know, where you have photographs and then speech balloons coming out of the character's mouth, and you make up a story. They're terribly popular in Spain, and I think back of sort of girls' magazines. When I was growing up, it was sort of Jackie magazine. Love stories and that. They're great for getting the kids to do writing, which they're actually interested in. And this woman in Turkey had set up an entire club in her school, an after-school club for the kids to make magazines full of these photo stories.
Okay.
And she sent an example of this magazine, and I just thought this was lovely. And it sparked an idea for having a series, which I hope will grow from now on, of people writing in and saying what they did with the articles which were published in the magazine, how they were inspired by them to produce their own version, to do it in their own context, or whatever. So we're kicking off with this one in issue 80.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, we couldn't print the whole magazine because the stories are lovely, but we chose one story which was particularly nice.
Okay.
About a kid who's sort of, he's off sick and for quite a protracted period, and he's bored and he's lying in his bed, and you know, it's really bad. And then these figures start appearing at his window to amuse him, and it's his school friends who are sort of parading cardboard characters outside his window, and they've really gone to town to make this work. I mean, the whole school is sort of, you know, they've got a bed in the school and a duvet, and they've got furniture and all these photos have taken in a school, but you know, people have contributed props and things to make it really quite convincing, and the kids have really gone to town on it. It's lovely. And this gave me an idea for how I could work in another article, which I actually had on the books for some time, which was a response from a woman called Sandy Wilcox, who teaches in Ethiopia. And a few issues ago, we published a sort of photocopyable debate type activity which people could use, written by Charles Mercer, and it was about getting the class into teams to play different roles in a scenario about whether a nuclear plant should be allowed to develop on a particular site. And so some of the kids had to play the people in the local town, which is totally depressed and needed employment, who were quite in favour of it. Then there were a lot who were environmentalists, and then there were representatives of the company who were doing this. And it's how to set up a debate to really get the students talking. And Sandy came back and said, well, you know, nuclear power and sort of environment not, you know, on the coast is not really an issue where I'm teaching. But we've changed this because what is really an issue here is water use.
Okay.
And we've adapted this debate idea to make it a debate about water. So
it's using the same principle.
Using the same principle, but on a different subject. Mm. And this was really nice, but it was quite long, and I was sort of having difficulty sort of getting it into the magazine because we'd already had the role play debate sort of set up, and so it was just a different subject. But actually, as it's, you know, to show how an idea can be taken and then adapted, I think, you know, it's got legs and it could go into this series. So I'm a little further down the line. I mean, it won't be in every issue. It's as and when they come in, but I'm going to put Sandy's in at some point. That'll be really nice.
Excellent.
Okay, so the first of that series comes in this issue.
And what else have you got coming up? I guess the old favourites are still going to be in there.
Oh, the old favourites are always in there, yes. I am, you know, eternally grateful to those people who deliver articles on time, again and again. I mean, a chief amongst these is John Potts, who has had an article in, I think, every issue. I don't know, I think I did miss him out one. Between his two series, I think we had a break. I think he's missed maybe one, maybe two issues in the whole row. And then he's just... It's wonderful. I mean, he ran a grammar series for years, and now he's just slightly changed tack to language, and he's looking at language, and, you know, people sort of sometimes question, you know, well, you know, why do native speakers, you know, say that? You know, the grammar books say it's a mistake, so then why do I hear so many people saying that? And he's looking at how, you know, the language changes and you know, why you hear and see certain things in the media which might be considered errors in grammar book. And he's, you know, sort of debating, you know, if so many native speakers say it, is it in fact an error? Is it legitimate to teach it? And it's quite an interesting issue. Also amongst our regulars, of course, Russell Stannard. An enthusiastic and generous sharer of ideas we have in Russell.
Mm-hmm.
He's been writing the Web Watcher column for years, just trawling the internet, finding sites that teachers can use, internet tools that they can use in their teaching, and you know, he's tireless in tracking these things down and explaining how you can use them. And best of all, you know, half this technology, myself, I'm not brilliant at technology, I find difficult to use. And Russell supplies, along with his article, an online video which shows you how to use the various tools that he's recommending. And he has this site, Teacher Training Videos.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever been on it, but it's completely free. And using sort of screen capture software, it's Camtasia, things like this, you can see Russell, you see his cursor moving along the screen, you know, doing a whatever it is, making a PowerPoint presentation or using a particular website, and it's all, you can hear Russell explaining it very simply as you go along, and you can just access that. And I just say, you know, when I have to sort of make a PowerPoint presentation or anything like that, you know, the first thing I do is put on Russell's video and follow along, because it's so good. And that is really absolutely
brilliant. It really helps have that visual.
Yeah, it makes all the difference. Yes, it really does. And Nikki Hockley, of course, has been running her technology series for quite some time, and that's always very good. As I said earlier, she's this one is on TED Talks.
Okay, so it ties in
nicely with the Claire Hunter talk at IELTS.
Excellent.
So there's that. A lot of the articles that are sent into ETP are descriptions of people's particular situations, and sometimes there is a relevance for the wide readership, and sometimes it's just too narrow. And the ones we accept, which are just sort of accounts of personal experience, are ones where we feel that there is something that people are going to get out of it for themselves, and something that they will learn from it. And often it's people explaining how situations arose from which they did actually learn, they developed. And there's an interesting one in issue 80, which is Fiona Baker talking about teaching in a class of young learners, and suddenly being faced by a small girl who had been adopted from China. And put into a regular school with no English at all, but very supportive parents, adopted parents, and she just explains, you know, what the techniques and strategies were that she used to get this girl integrated into the class and get her language developing, and you know, the frustrations for the girl and for the teachers involved in this.
It might be applicable to lots of other people.
And also I think one of the important points that she makes in this is, you know, this is just one girl in one school and with one teacher, and you know, the girl is called Elsie, and she asked, you know, how many other Elsies are there out there? And what are the teachers doing to ease their passage into school, to improve their language? How are they coping? And I hope that people will respond if they have been in the situation, what they've done to assist. Yeah. The sad point in issue 80 is that we have the last article in a very, very long running series from Rose Senior, who's been doing a column at the back of the magazine for, I think, over 10 years. Always one page, always focused on, you know, a particular classroom issue, and explained very, very well as a guide to, you know, helping teachers to deal with specific points and issues in the classroom. And Rose has been a great supporter of ETP over the years. She's always delivered her articles on time or early. They've always been a joy to edit, and so it's sadly saying farewell to her series, but I hope not saying farewell to Rose herself. I'm sure we'll be getting other things from her in the future.